Hello, this is Rabbi David Rosenbaum of Young Gizo Shomrei Emunah in Silver Spring, Maryland. Thank you for joining us for our 14th installment of the Halachos of Chametz on Pesach. So we were describing yesterday that Chametz Shavar Lava Pesach, the rabbinic prohibition of benefiting from Chametz owned by a Jew over Pesach, applies even if someone did a bittul, even if someone did the oral nullification and they didn't search their house for Chametz. Because the reason for that is the rabbis are concerned if the whole reason for this whole rabbinic injunction is to make sure that people are serious about chametz. So what will happen? So people won't check their houses and they'll say, yeah, you know, I did a bittul. And they're not following the basic rabbinic laws of also physically eliminating the chametz from their homes, as we discussed earlier in the series. So we can understand that Chametz Shavar Lava Pesach applies for a person who didn't try to physically eliminate the chametz from his home. And didn't sell his chametz, by the way. Here's the next question. A person did the bittul. A person checked their houses high and low for chametz. Spent hours upon hours upon hours. Worked really, really hard. And no one's perfect. And lo and behold, they find chametz in their house over Pesach. And they didn't sell their chametz. So on the one hand, you could argue, well, I mean, the person did everything they were supposed to do. What are you complaining about? On the other hand, maybe a rule's a rule. So it's very interesting. It's a big question in halacha. Would we say chametz shavar lava pesach by a person who did the bittul and applied themselves to physically eliminating the chametz too? It seems the more common approach in halacha is that we would say that that's chametz shavar lava pesach. Okay. What types of chametz have a status of chametz shavar lava pesach? So obvious chametz-based foods, bread, you know, cookies, pretzels, I think we get that if those foods were owned by a Jew over Pesach, you've got a problem. We understand that. What about foods that have more of a trace amount of chametz in them? So if you remember, we discussed earlier in the series the idea of taruvos chametz, chametz in mixtures, and we discussed that one of the questions is how much chametz in the mixture needs to be there for this food to be considered real chametz on Pesach. So there's different opinions about it. But for the question of chametz shavar lava Pesach, many authorities are more lenient. So it's very interesting. You could have two cereals. One has a very trace amount of chametz in it. And one, chametz is not the primary flour, but chametz is a significant enough flour that one would be prohibited as chametz shavar lava Pesach, and one wouldn't be prohibited as chametz shavar lava Pesach. What's very clear is there are many, many foods that we would never eat on Pesach because we're very strict, even for the most trace amounts, that for chametz shavar lava Pesach would not be a problem. So it's fine to buy cornflakes. Cornflakes, you're not going to find wheat, rye, oat, barley, spelt in the ingredients. It's fine to buy cornflakes from a Jewish-owned store that did not sell its chametz. It's fine to buy cornflakes 5 minutes after Yom Tov is over, after Pesach is over. Heaven forbid to eat those cornflakes on Pesach. We normally wouldn't even own those cornflakes on Pesach. But once Pesach is over, things that maybe it's chametz stick vessels and things like that, we're not worried about that. There has to be an actual chametz presence. The exact line of demarcation is a little bit vague. Sometimes there are organizations that come out with more specific lists, but it is hard. Certainly, though, anything that you would make a mezonos on, we would be concerned about chametz shavar lava Pesach. And it could be even something you wouldn't make a mezonos on. It could be that if it has wheat as a significant ingredient, it could be that also would be chametz shavar lava Pesach. Now, chametz nuksha, which is something that is borderline food to begin with, and it has chametz in it, that's not a problem of chametz shavar lava Pesach. So we had discussed, for example, the idea of, let's say, being concerned, according to many organizations, we are concerned about the alcohol or chametz content in, let's say, spray deodorant. And we wouldn't just use necessarily any spray deodorant on Pesach. Once Pesach is over, I mean, at worst, that deodorant seems to be chametz nuksha, and there's not a problem of chametz shavar lava Pesach. So if a store, if CVS... not CVS, but if a store is Jewish-owned and they don't sell their chametz, it would be fine to get liquid deodorant from there after Pesach. So again, it's very important to realize that even when you have a store that didn't sell its chametz and it's owned by a Jew, there are many, many, many things that we wouldn't buy on Pesach, and we wouldn't even own on Pesach, that are perfectly fine to buy from that store after Pesach. The things you can't buy from that store are things that are food that have a certain amount of chametz actually in the ingredients. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a wonderful day.